This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam Tasliman kathiran kathira fama badu. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose, which He described when He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have created the jinn and the mankind for nothing other than that they may worship Me. So the purpose of creation, the reason why we exist, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the way to worship, this is the beauty of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, I created the jinn and the insan to worship Me. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us to figure out how to worship Him and invent our own ways. So it's not as if somebody is, singing a song, a nasheed or a qawwali or something, saying this is worship of Allah. Another person is spinning like a top or something, saying this is worship of Allah. Another person is doing something else, saying this is the worship of Allah. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically described and showed us what is the way in which He prefers to be worshipped. Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'abudni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha, the ayat which are there, verily I am Allah, la ilaha illa ana, nobody has the right to be worshipped except Me. So worship Me, wa aqimis salata li dhikri, and establish the salah for My dhikr. You know, there is a protocol whenever you meet some great person, and especially this applies even more importantly in our world when you are meeting royalty, or when you are meeting, nowadays it's not so much in presidents and prime ministers because they come and go, but royalty is kind of the whole elaborate procedure when you meet a king or a queen and so on and so forth. So you are, and you are briefed in advance. This is what you must do when you meet the king. In 2010, I was invited to speak at the International Hajj Conference, and as part of that, we were invited to a banquet in the Royal Palace in Mina, and I met King Abdullah, Rahimahullah, he passed away. And so before we went in there, we were told, this is how you will meet the king. This is what you will say. You can't go there and hug the king and say, hi, nice to meet you or something. I mean, there's a procedure because you're meeting the king. So there's a protocol, a process. Now, salah is that process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. I'm not comparing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this king or that king. I'm saying that just to illustrate that. So al-salah is the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers to be worshipped. And that is what we are doing. So not only are we worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously if you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question in the mind of any intelligent person would be that I am worshipping Allah, but how do I know Allah likes this? How do I know Allah prefers this form of worship? I just thought about this, I dreamt it, I invented it, but is it really acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? You would ask this question. But in the case of salah, we don't have to ask this question, because this form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, we know that this is the way which Allah taught His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, obviously, this is the way in which He prefers to be worshipped. And therefore, it is something that we do with confidence, inshallah. Salah is also a meter. Salah is a means by which we can judge ourselves. The salah is something, it's not just, two rakat, you go to the masjid, you pray and you go off, and then the rest of my life is mine, I do whatever I want. If it is my business, I run it any way I like. If it is my home, I run it any way I like. If it's whatever I'm doing, I do it any way I like. That is not true. Salah is a meter which also tells me what I am doing, whether this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes or not. Allah said, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqimis salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, recite, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what has been revealed to you of the Quran, and establish as-salah. Verily, the salah prevents a person from al-fahsha, which is all forms of shamelessness, all forms of sins, and wal-munkar, and all things which are rebellious and wicked deeds. There was one of the Sahaba, there was a man who used to come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very regularly, and then for a period he didn't turn up. So Rasulullah asked somebody, he said, where is this man? He always comes. Where has he gone? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, he is ashamed to come before you. So Nabi said, why? They said, well, you know, he has fallen into bad ways and he is doing things which he should not be doing. So he now feels shy to come before you. Rasulullah said, has he left salah? They said, no, he prays. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell him to stay with salah. Tell him to establish salah. Tell him never to leave salah. So they conveyed it to the man. And after some days, the man came into the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he made tawbah. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I took your advice. And then the salah did what the salah is supposed to do, which is keeps me away from fahsha wal munkar. Think about that. You know, if you have prayed Salatul Isha, after that Salatul Isha, if you now go and sit in a Ghana party or, you know, a dance party or some God knows what disco, what does it say about your Salah? What kind of Salah did you pray? No, isn't it true? What did you do just now? You stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remembered your akhirah. And then you go and you do the opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do. So what does it say about the salah? So obviously if your salah is good, then what will the salah do? After Salatul Isha, whichever Salah it is, now the opportunity comes, the invitation comes, come with me here, come with me there. He said, no, hold on. What's going to happen in that place? Oh, nothing, you know, no. Please tell me, what is going to happen in that place? And they tell you, what do you do? He said, look, let me advise you. Don't do this. Don't do this because you are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do that. They said, no, but you know, we made all the arrangements, everything. Okay, fine, no problem. Salaam alaikum. I am not coming. Halas. Because I just prayed Salatul Isha. And if Allah gives me life, tomorrow morning I have to pray Salatul Fajr. So when I spend my night doing haram, then next morning, what face will I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what Salah does. Salah protects you. Salah is protection. You say, Alhamdulillah, no problem. I have prayed Salah. I am not going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just said, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, I am yours. If I am yours, can I do something against your order? No. So either I am yours or I am not yours. So if I am not yours, then no problem. Khalas, there is no shortage of real estate in Jannah or Jahannam. So go pick your place. But if I am yours, then I am not going to do something which you have prohibited, no matter who gives me what spin on it, that's not my problem. I will not do that which Allah has prohibited. Khalas, finished. This is what Salah does. Salah is therefore protection. Salah is the pledge. Salah is the connection. I already mentioned this to you. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. The question to ask yourself at that time, the question I have to ask myself is, what is the level and state of my iman? When I am saying Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, when I am saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I am yours. You alone we worship. You alone we ask for help. Is that really true? What is the meaning of worship? One meaning of worship, of course, is to makes ruku and sujood and so on and so forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make this before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not do this to anything else, to idols and so on. But the other meaning of worship, which is equally important, is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is obedience. And there are several dalail in the Quran with regard to worship. One of the best of them is from Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Mr. Sallam, have you not seen those who worship their desires, who have taken their desires as their God, as their ilah? So worship the desire means what? Does it mean that the person is putting a keyboard in front and making sajda to it? Does it mean the person is putting a bottle of whiskey there and making sujood? No. Worshipping desire means to obey the desire in opposition to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the worship of the desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked that so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek forgiveness for people who worship their desires. Allah is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you going to intercede for such people? Can you imagine this? Think about it. The problem is, what shaitan does is shaitan puts a sugar coating on the pill. Shaitan prevents us from doing good in two ways. One, shaitan makes you choose something of less value over something of higher value. Right? Two things. Something of less value over something of higher value. And the second one thing he does is, shaitan makes something which is serious look like it is not so serious. Meaning something which is seriously bad, shaitan makes it look as not so serious. Let me give you an example. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the tawfiq, all of you are sitting here. But I happen to know that there is a sale going on in one of the very nice designer stores in the city. Now tell me, if you go and with your halal income, if you go to this designer store, and if you browse around and you find, you know, some nice clothes for yourself, or it's a woman's store, so it's for your wife, your mother, sister, whoever, right? So if with your halal income, if you go to that place and if you spend some money and you buy these clothes, is it halal or haram? Is it permissible or not permissible? Permissible, of course, alhamdulillah. Nothing wrong. Not only is it permissible, let me go a step further and therefore encourage all the men here to go and buy nice clothes for your wives. Is that if you are spending this money, inshallah, halal money, to buy some good stuff and good designer stuff for your wife, this is sadaqah. So you are doing a good deed, Allah will reward you for it. No problem. But same time, you have a choice of coming to a masjid and sitting in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the value of salah. So you've got now two halal objectives. I mean, both of them are halal, alhamdulillah. But which has more value than the other? This is a no-brainer for anyone who has a brain. There are no-brainers for people who have no brains. In the designer store, yes, sure, you spend some money, alhamdulillah, Allah will give you reward, inshallah. But when you are sitting in the masjid, engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every second you are getting the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every second you are getting a reward. Being multiplied. You are in the house of Allah. You are in the presence of malaika, of angels. And this is being recorded in your amal. And then, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you make my zikr, I will make your zikr. So when you are making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, Allah is mentioning you by name on His arsh. He's not doing that to the person who's in the store. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of places on the face of the earth is the masjid. And he said the worst of places is the marketplace. Now, when he said the worst of places is the marketplace, does he mean the liquor shop? No. He's talking about the halal marketplace. Why would the Nabi mention the halal marketplace in the first place? Because you're not supposed to go there anyway. Among the halal things, this is the worst. Go there if you have to go there. Go there if you have to buy something, go buy something. But, you know, treat it like, since I have to go. This is the spin that shaitan puts on things. So since he can't make you do something which is openly haram, what he does is he takes you to some place which has got minimal reward in exchange for some place which has got maximum reward. You have two choices, Salatul Fajr, I can pray. I'm not talking about not praying. Not praying is out of Islam. I'm talking about praying. But my choice is I pray at home or I go to the masjid. Shaitan says, no problem, get up, wake up, time for Salatul Fajr. Pray, quickly, here, right now, next to the bed. Nice musalla and so on and so forth. He says, no, but the masjid, how does it, you're praying, no. But when you get to the masjid, it is 27 times the reward, not 27%. 27 times the reward. And as I always say, all of this counting is for us to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward in His own way. Bighairi hisab. Now the value of this 27 times we will realize when we stand before Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, when the scales are up there, then we will understand what is the meaning of 27, what is the meaning of 1. So this is one way. And as I said, the second way in which shaitan deceives is, he takes something which is bad and evil and he puts a covering on it and he says, it's not so bad, it's okay. Please, don't fool yourself. My brothers and sisters, we 5 times a day we are reminded of the fact that one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A group of people came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? And in that group of people, there was a young boy, like you got several of these guys here, Bilal here, Ali here, and Aqib and all that, right? They're all like 5 years old and so on and so forth. So there was one kid with them. So these people came and said, Ya Rasulullah, when will the day of judgment be established? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to that child and said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a long life, the day of judgment will be established for all of you before he dies. Meaning that all of you will die before this kid, because if Allah gives him a long life, then all the older ones would have gone. So when is our day of judgment? Not the Yawm al-Akhirah, whenever it happens, that is of course there, no doubt about that. But my day of judgment is the day when Malakul Maut comes for me. That is why in Arabic we call it Qiyamatul Sughra, the small Qiyamah. But small compared to the big one, not small for the one to whom it is happening, believe me. That is the reminder 5 times a day. And that is why this is a protection. The one who consciously remembers the day of judgment 5 times a day, believe me, that person cannot go wrong. That person cannot commit a sin. That person cannot do something which is wrong, because he is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.